You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, happy Friday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Paul Gallant is hashtag recovering from COVID at home, but he's feeling good. You're feeling okay, right?
I'm feeling okay. The last commercial break, and I think it was because I was speaking in a southern accent, that
naturally,
it just absolutely ravaged my throat. So I was coughing for a good, I don't know, like 2 minutes straight.
You must have been on mute. I did not hear you.
Oh, yes, definitely. And then I went to the bathroom, got a neti pot, and just flushed out a bunch of stuff. That was fun.
All during the break?
Oh, yeah.
Is the neti pot thing where you do the teacup?
Yeah, it's like a tea kettle. You pour it in one nostril with saline solution, and it pushes some stuff out the other side. And
oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sounds lovely.
It's kind of fun.
But we do hope that you're rolling along and that you're doing okay. Sean Mapes is behind the glass, as always. The Astros winning last night 5-2, so they did well against the Royals. They, of course, took 3 of 4. Altuve, a two-run bomb. Yordan's bomb gave them the lead. We're starting to hear a lot of that, and certainly Yordan looking like an MVP every time he hits one of those bombs. MVP chance for days. The Astros now taking on the Oakland A's tonight.
Yeah, and look, they continue a stretch to wrap up the first half of the year where they're going to play some pretty easy competition, seeing as the American League West is what it is, where what I'm keeping an eye on is what the New York Yankees are doing, and they're playing Boston right now. They won last night's game. It was closer than expected, given the way that things started. But, the Astros are playing really well right now, and there are a couple of things from last night's game that I have gripes with, but it's like first world problems. The thing that I should not be mad about at all, I want to say was it the eighth inning, and the Astros had already added a couple of insurance runs, and it's a 5-2 game, and Alex Bregman's at the plate with the bases loaded, and Bregman had an interesting day at the plate where he drew a couple of walks from Sir Walks-A-Lot, but wasn't able to get any hits, and he has been hitting really well of late over the last like half month. The thing that I guess I think back about with this game is that I wish Alex Bregman had come through with that bases loaded situation.
Yeah.
I just want that to happen. I want the cherry on top of what we are seeing right now. I want to know definitively that come playoff time, come World Series time, we're going to see an Alex Bregman, maybe not of last year's World Series, but of years past.
Has there been anything that you've seen over the last couple of weeks when the Astros have been on fire, deficiencies that you think could concern you in playoffs?
Honestly, not really. The bullpen's been pitching over their head. Maybe they come back to earth a bit. The starting pitching has been pitching pretty well all year long. Maybe they come back to earth a bit. But with the way that this is what I think the Astros lineup is. I mean, I think they've been hitting like 280 or something over the course of the last month. That's what they are. And it's about damn time. Maybe a little bit more run production will be nice, but that was, I think, the big issue that we all agreed upon the first couple of months of the year, is that this offense has a lot of potential, and they weren't quite living up to it.
We also talked about some of those errors, but that overall has not been a huge issue for the Astros. Yeah, I mean, they have a pretty easy stretch, man. When you take inventory of their competition and what they're going to face, they've pretty much got it made. I want to rehash a segment that you started, that was your idea.
Yeah.
And I am glad that we're doing this because, listen, Astros and Yankees is one of the most legit rivalries in baseball right now. Forget the historic blah, blah, blah. What is the relevant rivalry right now, Astros and Yankees? So we're starting a Yankees watch, Paul.
Yes. Hit the sound effect.
Damn Yankees!
That's from the, again, it's a good musical. In case you haven't watched
it. I haven't, but now I'm going to.
There's a really iconic song in that musical that is referenced in the movie The Replacements. It's called Heart. And basically it goes, "You've got heart, miles and miles of heart, when they tell you you'll never win, blah, 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 blah." Anyway, sorry.
Whenever I think of heart, I think Barracuda and all that.
That's a good band.
Yeah.
What else do they do? Is that it?
I'm not really big into heart.
Okay.
But good song.
Yankees are 5.5 games up on Houston for the top mark in the American League. Now that the Mariners are above, are at 500, they have 45 games left, New York does, against teams 500 or above. The Astros have 28 if you add the Mariners in. And I've said this a couple of times, and I tweeted it out yesterday, at Gallant Says on Twitter, at Sports Vanessa, at Shawnee Mapes. Because they have less games against good teams the rest of the way, where New York has to play Boston 15 more times after last night. Like, they've only played Boston four times to this point this year, which is honestly stunning. The Astros should catch them. The Astros will catch them. The Astros have a really easy schedule. I think what New York has done to this point, it's impressive, and they have a really good record against some of the teams that I've listed. But I don't know. When you play Boston, when you play your arch rival, generally you're going to come close to splitting most of those games. And I saw last night, I mean, look, it looked like New York was going to run away with it earlier. Josh Donaldson hit a grand slam. But ultimately, it was a 6-5 final score. I think the games against Boston, who is playing a lot better too from a slow start that they had, I think that's going to help out the Astros a whole lot.
They were talking on ESPN this morning about who the best team in baseball is, and I think it was Jessica Mendoza had said that she thought it was the Yankees, but that the Astros would eventually catch them, and Buster only said, you can't say that. You know, if the Astros are the best going to catch them, eventually the Astros are the best team in baseball right now, and certainly when you look at that schedule, that's going to help them, which is a relief. If you remember their first, like the first month of the season, they were the most road-gamed team in baseball. Let's talk about last night. I know it's just summer league, but it was fun to watch the Rockets. Paolo Banchero, 17 points. I liked seeing Eric Gordon, KPJ, Jalen Green, courtside repping. I think this is going to be, look, not all rebuilds are fun. I give you the Houston Texans. But with the Rockets, you at least have some young players that are making for good basketball.
Yeah,
the Magic won, by the way. The Rockets didn't win, but I liked what I saw.
I'm just bummed out that Banchero didn't fall to the Rockets. Because I thought everyone made it sound like, okay, it's going to be Chet Holmgren and Jabari Smith, right? 1 and 2. And I've seen Holmgren too, and Holmgren's looked pretty damn good in summer league action. And by the way, yeah, it's summer league. It's fake basketball, essentially,
right?
But
he's who I thought the Rockets he was projected. But I do like seeing the young players in the league. I like seeing, you know, how the league is shaping up. But I think the Rockets have some hope, and I think that they're one of the young teams to watch for sure.
Oh yeah, and look, you have young players that at least now. Well, Kevin Porter Jr. is still on the team.
Is still on the team. He was courtside last night with his bae, who plays for the Indiana Fever, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, good for him. I still want him gone. And I think you got to make sure that these guys develop all the right habits. I feel pretty damn good about Jalen Green. I feel all right about Jabari Smith. Again, I wanted Banchero, but I mean, the Rockets had the third overall pick. What did I think was going to happen? You know, you have to get lucky there to have the guy that you want fall into your lap. But there's a part of me that feels like they got to get him out, Porter Jr. I don't want these guys to develop bad attitudes, bad habits, entitlement, and I feel like Porter Jr. is the exact worst kind of big brother-like character to have,
yeah,
in the team's locker room.
And he had talked, I mean, Jabari Smith Jr. talked a little bit after the game, and I didn't pull the sound bite, but he talked a little bit about how he was kind of feeling the game out, how he felt like he could have been more involved, and all of that. But like I said, rebuilds typically aren't fun. I think what I like about Summer League, just from being a basketball fan, is seeing these young guys, seeing how they can develop, and seeing maybe what's ahead for them. So we'll see how the Rockets continue, but I wanted to give a quick shout-out since Summer League in Las Vegas did begin. All right. Are you in or are you out? Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a little NFL edition. Plus, remember when this was an SEC problem? That's next.
This is ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, our show continues on a Friday. Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes, I'm Vanessa Richardson, and we're playing a little edition of Are You In or Are You Out?
Ooh.
NFL style. This is also just to be transparent, what we call a summer topic, meaning there's no breaking news today. But we do want you guys' opinions on what we're going to ask. 713-780-3776. I think, according to our NFL countdown, 61 days until the NFL season begins. And certainly with the Baker Mayfield trade and all that, we should have some good week one games. So, Paul and Sean, are you in or are you out? Ezekiel Elliott will have a better season than Saquon Barkley.
Oh, man. Remember when those two guys were top of the line running backs?
Top of the line.
Saquon Barkley for a year. Ezekiel Elliott for a couple of seasons. You have to say yes. I don't know that Saquon Barkley's ever going to be the guy that he used to be. I mean, it's been a couple of years. At least with Elliott, the production's been there in the past. I'm picking Elliott.
You're picking Elliott. Sean Mapes, what do you say?
Yeah, I also got to go with Zeke. His first 2 years in the league, he was insane. And then since then, I mean, he's still 1,300 and then hovering around 1,000 the last two seasons. And Saquon Barkley just can't stay healthy. So somehow I'm very low on Zeke, and somehow I'm picking Zeke in this, I guess.
You are very low. I thought you may be the Saquon fighter in this.
Yeah, no, I'm even lower on Saquon.
Yeah, I think health is an issue. I think the Giants and Joe Shane have made a lot of improvements, but I just don't know if it's there or not.
The one thing that could potentially work against Ezekiel Elliott is if the Cowboys decide to turn things over more to Tony Pollard. Most Cowboy fans will tell you that they would like to see a lot more Tony Pollard, but and I don't know that there's necessarily somebody like that with the Giants right now that's competing with Saquon Barkley. So I guess that's like the one devil's advocate argument, but it's got to be Zeke. I mean, we have seen Zeke play at least reasonably well way more recently than we have with Barkley.
All right, are you in or are you out? The Patriots miss the playoffs.
Whoa, what? Okay. Vanessa can probably see in my home studio 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pieces of Patriots memorabilia behind me.
You're also wearing the
hat. The Pat Patriot hat. So I'm, of course, going to be slanted as biased if I say this, but seven teams make the playoffs. I know that the AFC is perhaps as deep as it ever has been, but at the same time, do we really think that this team with Mac Jones in its second year isn't capable of being one of the top teams in the half of the conference? I'm not expecting much, I'll admit, but I think that in year two of Mac Jones, they can easily get 10, 11 wins again and get one of the wild card spots.
Sean, are you in or are you out? The Patriots missed the playoffs.
I am out. I don't think the Patriots make the playoffs.
Wait, so you're in, Sean.
Or in. Whatever the... I
dead to me.
I'm out on the Patriots. I'm in on the
I'm out
question.
On you.
I'm okay with that, Paul. Actually, I want you as far away from me as possible right now.
Oh, that's true. I do have COVID.
Yeah, even more than
you
usual.
Have the
I have... yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in the Patriots. I also have a lot of faith in Tua, which is a weird spot I've carved out for myself.
It's a very weird spot.
So, yeah, I have the Dolphins finishing ahead of the Patriots in the AFC East, and I don't see three teams from the AFC East making the playoffs when you're also kind of penciling in three teams from the AFC West making the playoffs. Then it becomes a numbers problem of, like Paul said, there's seven teams that make the playoffs. I don't think the Patriots are one of the seven best teams in the AFC.
I'm in. I think that they miss the playoffs as well. The funny thing, as much as I dislike the Patriots, I actually would like to see Mac Jones do well because I think that he seems like a good kid. I think that look, when you're a quarterback for the Patriots, you got to fill some big shoes there. So I would actually like to see him do well. But when you look at how loaded the AFC South is, it's like I always say, I'm glad it's good that Aaron Rodgers stayed in Green Bay. I mean, that path to the playoffs is a hell of a lot easier than if you're an AFC team.
I'll do process of elimination right now. Let's like do it as a group exercise as far as teams that we think are going to make it in the AFC. So the AFC West, I think it's possible for all four of those teams to make it, but I think it's much more likely that three make it.
Of them. That's what I would say as well.
One of those teams will be disappointing. In the AFC North, let's be realistic. How many of those teams have a chance to make the playoffs? Because I really think it's just Baltimore.
I think Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Cincinnati's
reigning AFC champion. Cincinnati.
Yeah, my bad.
Disrespecting.
So two teams can make the playoffs from the AFC North.
Browns, if Deshaun only gets suspended for like six games?
I think that the Browns, I think they have a great complete roster, but I think that if he's out eight games, I think that spoils it for him.
Okay.
AFC East, it's the Bills, yes. Patriots and Dolphins, maybe. I don't think anyone's in on the Jets. So right now we have said, okay, there's like probably eight teams. And then in the AFC South, like, there will only be one team from the AFC
South.
You
always have to account for the Titans, and I hate it, but for whatever reason they've been now, do you, with A.J. Brown being gone and all that, you have to account for the Titans or the Colts.
But would you count both of them? I always look at the South, and I'm like,
no.
One team's going to win.
Right.
It's the Colts or the Titans. The Jaguars and Texans are very far away. Okay, so there's like nine teams that are probably going to make it. I think the odds are very much in the Patriots' favor to make it. That is how I will try to back up my rather homer argument.
There you go. Last, are you in or are you out? It's like I'm catering to Paul today. Mm. This is Tom Brady's last season in the NFL.
No,
I'll just say
assault.
I'll just say I'm in. I think that no matter what happens this season, now look, he's Tom Brady. He could play three more years and I wouldn't be shocked. But when you look at the money that's on the table with Fox, he is getting older. Father Time is undefeated, even against Tom Brady, or eventually we think Father Time will be undefeated.
Father Time is taking L's, Vanessa.
I think it's Brady's last year. Paul?
Who would I be to doubt my Lord and Savior? He will play forever. He will play until he dies on the field, a warrior gladiator, and then he will ascend into the heavens from the spot where he breaks his hip and dies. So I am of the belief that, no, Brady is going to play until he is 173 years old. And if he doesn't play in a football season, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. So he needs to.
Sean, are you in or are you out?
Get him out of here. I literally don't know what would happen if he doesn't play football, because my first memory of football is basically Tom Brady in Super Bowl.
You and I both, trust me.
I've never experienced it without him, so get him out of here.
There are some people that die shortly after they retire. Like, my papa was one of them. My papa farmed until he was like 80, and it was his life.
Holy
and
crap.
We knew.
He was 80?
We knew
legend.
that when he stopped farming, that boy was done. And that sure enough, rest in peace, Dallas.
Shout out to Papa. That is blue collar AF.
It really
Hell
is.
Yeah.
It really is. My preacher, longtime preacher, preaching was his life. He died like less than a year after he retired from preaching. Do you think Tom Brady could be the kind of guy that like plays until he's in his 60s, and then when he hangs it up, it's like he just doesn't have anything to live for?
Go home to the wife and kids. Hell no, I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
Although Giselle's gonna look pretty good, probably.
She
65.
Will look excellent. Cheers to you, Mrs. Robinson. All right, Qatar's World Cup stadiums are set to be alcohol free.
This is an outrage.
With beer sales outside arenas only allowed before and after some matches.
The slave labor stuff is bad. Yes. But good God.
Whoa.
You can't even have beer there? Unbelievable.
For the World Cup, and they won't make exceptions. They won't make exceptions for the World Cup.
It's insane. I get it. We're an Islamic country. That's against our religion. Blah, blah, blah. Get out of here. This is a world event, and you guys are acting like it's, what, like 200 BC? You got to stone people for having a Bud Light? My God. This is frustrating. But it does remind me of something, Vanessa, because very recently at SEC stadiums, you could not get a beer in stadium.
That's right.
Which is so dumb. I could not fathom that, because when I went to college at Cuse, at Syracuse, they had beers that you could buy in stadium. And then I went to a Texas A&M game, and I went in the stadium, and I was like, all right, where's the beer? They're like, oh, we don't have that here. And I was like, wait, what? I'm going to have to watch this game sober?
You know, the funny thing, too, is that on a real note, I think that actually makes it more dangerous, because then people are slamming alcohol out. Sean agrees with me. It makes it more dangerous, right?
But yes, because you drink so much at the tailgate that you basically have alcohol poisoning walking into the stadium.
You see? Yeah. So have it in the stadium so that doesn't happen. But here's the other thing, too. So they're not going to have alcohol outside of the stadium either. You can buy it at the country's only liquor store, which is on the outskirts of one city, or you can buy it at a handful of licensed hotels and clubs for $18 and then carrying it around in the very, very mild temperature of a bleeping desert where it's going to be like 100 degrees by the time you even get to the stadium. Not inside the stadium bowl, not during the match. I think this is ludicrous. The fact that Qatar got the World Cup was an outrage to begin with, and now on top of that, like, piss off, Qatar.
Piss off. I hope nobody from Qatar is listening. Coming up on Vanessa
I hope
they are.
Well,
and
actually, yeah, I don't know.
No, you mind. Don't want that. It's been 12 years ago since one of the obnoxious but most iconic sports announcements ever. Plus, text us, tweet us, call us. What is one of the best mob movie lines ever in honor of course, James Caan's passing? That's next.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
In this fall, man, it's very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
God, that was so obnoxious. 12 years ago today, LeBron James on national TV announced, quote, the decision that he was going to leave the Cleveland Cavaliers, take his talents to South Beach, and join the Miami Heat. First of all, this being 12 years just made me feel extremely old. Like, when I look back on it, I'm like, yeah, it was probably 7 or 8 years ago. God, 12. Not good. Yeah, that was quite the day, Paul.
I remember it vividly. And I remember being very angry. And
that's not like you.
I know, right? I wonder now, with the benefit of hindsight and with everything that's happened since then, if we still feel the same way, if we maybe feel that we were unfair in the moment. Because he chose to go to another team. My big issue with the entirety of the saga was that he announced it on national TV, ripped the hearts out of the town that he grew up in, a town that loved him and worshipped him as if he were my Tom Brady, that he did that, and that also that he had it shot at the Greenwich, Connecticut Boys and Girls Club, because the Greenwich is the, like, richest city in America.
It is.
So I'm sure there's some people that are going through hard times in Greenwich, Connecticut, but it's like the average household income in Greenwich was $336,000 back in 2018. So that part annoyed me too. But I mean, he just left a team that wasn't doing enough around him to go to a better team, and he kind of orchestrated it. And I think a lot of us, maybe in the moment, we just weren't ready for players collaborating with other players and creating teams on their own.
I do think that we were hard on LeBron James, and I think that one of the reasons is kind of one of the reasons, and I'll bring it back to your favorite person, Russell Wilson, where it just was very corny, right? Like, it just was very, you know, even before that, before the iconic line, he says, well, and this is a tough decision. It's just, Sean's nodding his head, like, is that just...
That's my favorite part, because, you know, like, he's thought about how he's going to say it, and so he made the choice to go, and this is a very tough decision, in the middle of saying where he's going to go. Mm-hmm. I thought it was hilarious.
It's an iconic moment. I mean, that is a, as far as off-season moments in sports, a where were you kind of moment, to the point where, I mean, it was a television special, and how many people were watching that as if it were an actual game?
I mean, that's a great point, Paul, because he mission accomplished, right? We all watched it.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, shoot, good for him, and especially good for Jim Gray, who consistently gets these interviews for some reason, whether it's with Tom Brady or with LeBron James. There was real uncertainty over where he would go. I don't think Miami was that high on the possibility list for a lot of people. I think New York fans had really thought to themselves that they had a chance. I think that the same thing could be said for Bulls fans too. And of course, Cleveland thought, of course he's not going to leave us. But it happened, and it paved the way for an entirely different kind of world of sports where players are, in basketball, just as much the guys that are changing the landscape as teams across the league, owners and GMs.
They were changing the landscape. And like I said, it's like, as much as we make fun of him, it was an iconic moment. It was mission accomplished, as everybody was tuning in and everybody was really passionate one way or another. Do you remember all of the burned jerseys after that?
Oh, yeah. That was the first time I'd ever seen those.
That was the other thing that came from that moment, is that was the first time, at least in my lifetime, where I remember there was like live coverage of people burning jerseys, and they were so angry. I mean, like, so angry with LeBron James.
They really were. The funny thing is, too, when he came back, how I bet a lot of those people were like, oh, damn, I wish I hadn't burned that jersey, number one. And number two, I think, honestly, it's a bad reflection on Cleveland that they welcomed him back with open arms. I get it. It's
like the abusive boyfriend.
He's from there. Right. It's like,
we've all done it.
Hey, dad stepped out for a carton of milk for a pack of cigarettes.
Right.
And he comes back 6 years later and you're like, all right, well, you know, the 6 years, it's like they didn't happen. It's fine. Come on back, daddy. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, come on back, daddy. We've all said it. Sean Mapes.
I will say, I have not actually said that. I will say, once he called the you know, nationally televised event, if you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan looking back on it, you have to be like, there's no way he was going to have Jim Gray and the Boys and Girls Club of Greenwich, Connecticut, and then say, you know what, I'm staying in Cleveland. He was always going to leave. Like, if he makes it a TV show, he's leaving.
Right. Yeah. The whole thing was obnoxious. LeBron James, the fact that it's been 12 years since LeBron James' iconic "I'm taking my talents to South Beach" line, and we've talked throughout the show about iconic lines in sports. Yesterday, we got the news that James Caan had died. RIP James Caan. And made me think about iconic lines in mob movies. And we've been asking our listeners throughout the show, in honor of James Caan and in honor of his iconic career, which of course kind of, you know, included The Godfather. I say kind of because I think was Brian's song before or after The Godfather?
Good question. I'm not 100% sure, but James Caan was in a bunch of sports movies too. Rollerball,
was,
the original
yeah.
version, is a really good movie for back then, which is like about a death sport in a futuristic America. I believe that James Caan plays for Houston in the original Rollerball movie too. Like, they're the team from H-Town. He was a head coach in The Program, which is a very underrated college football movie that had Omar Epps in it.
My favorite thing, Paul, was people that were like talking about like all of the headlines that included Elf. I do understand Elf is an iconic movie and a Christmas movie, but it did make me laugh that James Caan was in so many iconic roles. But that was, you know what, that was probably how the youngest generation, like people that are on the internet now, 15, 16, probably know him from Elf more than anything.
But you should know him from The Godfather, because he steals the show as Santino
and
Corleone.
Can I also
AKA
say
Sonny.
He looks so hot in The Godfather?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean, even Paul.
He was throwing 100. Yeah, he. I mean, shoot, he was awesome in that movie. This is my favorite part.
In honor of James Caan, who passed away, we've been asking our listeners throughout the show, what is your favorite line from a mob movie, your favorite iconic line? We've gotten a couple of good ones so far. One of the obvious ones, leave the gun, take the cannoli. Incredible moment. And then the one that's probably quoted the most in pop culture, I would say, would be, you know, I'll make him an offer he can't refuse. But Paul, what's your favorite line from a mob movie?
What, am I a clown to you? Do I amuse you? What's funny? Vanessa, why are you laughing? What's so funny? Am I a clown? Huh?
That one's Goodfellas, right?
Hey, tell me. What's so funny? Yeah, that's from Goodfellas, yes. So I think that's number one. I did find my favorite line from Santino and sequence from Sonny Corleone in The Godfather. I think this was in Godfather Part 2. It was a flashback. Sean Mapes, I believe we have the audio of this. Can we play it?
They're saps because they risk their lives for strangers.
Well, that's Pop talking.
You're right, that's Pop talking.
They risk their lives for their country.
Your country ain't your blood. You remember that.
I don't feel that way.
I don't feel that way. Well, if you don't feel like that, why don't you just quit college and go to join the Army?
I did. I enlisted in the Marines.
Mikey, why didn't you come to us?
What do you mean?
I mean, Pop had to pull a lot of strings to get your deferment.
I didn't ask for it. I didn't ask for a deferment. I didn't want it.
Come on, Sonny.
The best part is there's the little kids that are like, Mommy, Daddy's fighting again at the very end of it. It's great.
Sean, what's your favorite line from a mob movie?
I love the A, look how they massacred my boy. Vito Corleone.
Yeah.
Killed him.
And then I liked Fredo. I liked The Godfather 2 a lot. And
I'm smart.
Yeah, I'm smart. And I'm the older brother, Mike. I was passed over. That one's hilarious.
That's a good one.
Right before he gets murdered.
Yeah. My favorite line from a mob movie comes from Karen in Goodfellas. And here's the thing. This is for the ladies, okay? Because I don't even really date bad boys. Shocker, I've never dated a guy that's in the mob, for sure. But she has a line where I think a lot of women can relate, and it's after Ray Liotta absolutely kicked that guy's butt in the driveway, and you hear her as she's holding the gun he gives her, and she says, I gotta admit the truth. It turned me on. To which all the ladies say, amen. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to wrap it up with a little garbage time. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we're rolling along on a Friday. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes with you. In honor of James Caan's passing, we've been asking y'all throughout the show, what's your favorite line from a mob movie? And we've gotten some good ones, a lot of Scarface, a lot of Casino. Say hello to my little friend from Scarface. That's a good one. Leave the gun, take the cannoli from The Godfather is a great one, of course. But in the end, we all effed it up from Casino is a good one. Paul, what did you say yours was?
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
Nice.
So that was in Godfather Part 3. But for anyone who's watched The Sopranos, Silvio's character says that line impersonating Michael Corleone in Godfather Part 3. No less than 6, 7, 8 times over the course of the series. And every single time he does it, it's bleeping hilarious.
Sean, what was yours?
I was passed over by Fredo.
There, you have to do the voice.
I was the older brother, Mike. I got passed over.
It's the role you have to do the voice.
He's so high-pitched in it.
He is. Mine was my favorite mob movie line was on behalf of all of the ladies. Karen and Goodfellas, when Ray Liotta kicks that guy's butt in the driveway, and she says, I got to admit the truth. It turned me on.
I don't have a direct quote for this scene I'm talking about, but just when he's screaming at her about flushing the drugs down the toilet. Why would you do that?
Why would you do that, Karen?
That's my favorite part.
Degenerate Gambler 1 on twitch.tv/ESPN97. When Al Pacino says, when you think you're big time, you're gonna die big time. That's me with that little Pacino zest on top of it. Every single time, Donnie Brasco, they say, forget about it.
Forget about it. Okay, these are my confessions. I did not know that was from a movie. I figured it was from a show or a movie, but when I was looking up for this story, different lines. And I have seen Godfather, I've seen Goodfellas, I've seen The Departed. I have not seen Donnie Brasco. So I did not know that, forget about it, because that's quoted so much. It's one of those things where it's like, it's from an actual movie, ?
If we're doing all mob movies, you know, and that's smart to do, because I was like thinking strictly Italian whenever I think of it. But yeah, because, you know, The Departed, as you brought up,
that is technically a mob movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a really funny sequence in The Departed too that I know for sure that we can't say on the air, but it's about firefighters. It's an amusing sequence. Let's just say that.
Yeah, we've been asking you guys. You guys have had a lot of good. Get in the boat, Frito. A lot of good ones.
There are three ways of doing things around here. The right way, the wrong way, and the way that I do it. Now yous can't leave.
The rat scene from Departed. I actually thought that was, that. First of all, that's not really a quote. If you're talking about the end, this is from the text line, 9334. The rat scene, is he talking about when the movie ends and there's a rat on the balcony to signify the rat?
Yeah, get it, because it was like, in case you didn't know that it was about a rat the whole time.
It was pretty bad.
There's a rat.
There's actually a petition online that people started a GoFundMe to get rid of that because it was so cliche and it was like so bad.
Yeah.
You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your effing fingers and say, that's the bad guy. That's from 8755.
Okay. There's someone in
was that a good Italian accent?
It was just like Pacino.
Do I sound like Al Pacino?
You have to be loud for no reason, Vanessa.
Well, in that scene, Scarface is more. I mean, he's just strung out, and so he is more
that's
understated.
An understatement. any line by Mark Wahlberg in The Departed too?
Oh, you're the guy who doesn't do his job. I'm the guy who does his job. You must be the other guy.
Anything by Alec Baldwin in that, too, where he's, like, sweating preposterously because of all that caffeine he's drank. Fantastic movie.
Maybe not. Maybe go bleep yourself. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Yeah, there are a lot of good ones. A lot of different mob movies. And no doubt James Caan was iconic in Godfather.
Yeah, my thing's working. Overtime.
Overtime.
Paul, you know the annoying thing that I have to admit is you actually do a decent Italian voice. Like, I wish I could make fun of it, but you actually sound pretty legit.
Because I have no life. When I'm by myself, I just...
Let's see, Vanessa, over here. You acted like you know what we're all about. You've never been to the old country. You've never been to Sicily. Okay?
Did you know...
How about you watch your mouth, huh?
Did you know that Marlon Brando was only 47 when they shot the first Godfather?
Did you also know that Marlon Brando had to read all of his lines in every movie that he was in because he notoriously refused to learn any of them?
Really?
Yes.
Always
had massive cue cards off screen.
He looked so old in that movie and did a good job. Whoever was the makeup artist, this is 50 years ago. The one that I couldn't get on board with, I like Diane Keaton. Like she's spectacular in a lot of her movies. I don't know why, and I haven't seen Godfather Part 2 and 3. I need to. I know. But she was just annoying in that movie. Keep watching.
I'll
like her more.
Godfather Part 1 and 2, you need to see. You don't need to see Godfather Part 3. Unless you want to ironically watch it.
Okay.
There are some good
Is it
parts
bad?
Of it. It's universally panned, yes. It's not probably as bad as everyone makes it out to be, but it's not very good either, especially compared
to the
first
Robert
two.
De Niro is in Godfather Part 2.
Yes, and he's awesome.
Oh,
he plays
okay.
young Vito Corleone, who, of course, was played by
Marlon Brando.
Thank you.
Yeah, Marlon Brando. God, they did a good job of making him look old. All right, it is time for our world-famous segment that we call Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah! I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, our first story. Chris Sale. This was a viral video that when I first saw it, I thought this had to be fake. I mean, if anybody's going to be this ridiculous, it is Chris Sale.
Chris Sale meltdowns are pretty awesome.
But
like the time
this
he cut
was
up his
a,
jersey.
Yeah, this was a meltdown. A wreckage caused by his meltdown Wednesday night has been cleaned up. And the ace has said, according to TMZ, that he's going to pay the 1,100 TV he absolutely demolished. He lost his mind, of course, after that rocky rehab start on Wednesday night.
Yeah, look, the guy's got a temper. What's also funny is, considering the amount of power he has and how tall he is he not like the skinniest, like, tall person that you've maybe have ever seen?
Yeah, he's very skinny.
And I'm like, how do you get all that power? You have no ass. It's impressive.
Italy's Sorrento Resort bans bikinis.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing, yes. Speaking of Italians, wearing swimwear could now land you a huge fine for quote-unquote indecency?
Hey, you're wearing a bikini. We don't like that here. You get out of here. Get out of here. Forget about it. Yeah, so it's one of these tourist hotspots. It's a beautiful place.
But people that are living there are getting upset at bikinis, bare torsos. They think it's contrary to decorum. So they're going to find people who they see walking around not wearing, that are wearing bathing suits. They're going to fine them a whopping 425 pounds for indecency. I gotta say, like, tourism is your industry. It's one thing if people are, like, just walking around not wearing anything, but here's the deal. Like, do you want people to not come to your town anymore? Maybe that's what they're hoping for. But if you want money to keep getting pumped into the economy and you're going to do something like this, this is outrageous. And as someone who goes on Yacht Weeks and does this all the time, I am outraged.
I knew it the minute we started talking about vacations that it would eventually turn to Yacht Week. All right, awkward for a Browns fan. A Browns fan with a giant Baker Mayfield tattoo is left in an awkward spot after that trade. And this, not to mention, is... I can't describe this tattoo other than the nose isn't really defined, the lips are bad, it's like the wrong color of brown, so it's a poor tattoo to begin with. But yeah, awkward after the Panthers traded Baker Mayfield for this.
What do you change it to? How do you change that tattoo to something that isn't Baker Mayfield?
I don't know, because it's not one of those, like, if you get somebody's name on you, you know, in cursive or whatever, like Brenda. You can turn that into, like, a butterfly or something like that, but that's not really one that you can adjust.
Yeah. Is it just the writing, or is it his face, too?
It's just his face. But like I said, it's not even... I guess it's a blessing, because it's not even a good Baker Mayfield tattoo. So let's say Baker had stayed with the Browns and become a Hall of Famer. This isn't even a good tattoo. Like, it's not Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers' tattoo, as corny as it was at least a good tattoo. This one was not a good tattoo.
Not a good one? Oh, that's not good. Yeah, because I'm trying... I just looked up celebrity look-alike for Baker Mayfield, and I couldn't find any.
No,
it's very hard.
He's got, like, the gap tooth and all that. All right, that'll do it for another episode of Vanessa and Gallant for another week. Of Vanessa and Gallant. Thanks, Sean Mapes. Thanks, Paul Gallant, for remoting in from home during the Rona. Hope you feel better.
Shout out to me.
Shout out to me for always having my back. All right, you got the Killer Bees up next. Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a good day.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.